Well, I enjoyed that, Miss Susan, very much. And they're getting close to moving, so we thank the Lord every time she gets to sing for us. Of course, they got grandkids here. They'll be back, and they can't stay away. Yeah, absolutely. So, but anyway, it's good to have Brother Pugh with us tonight, his wife, and some folks from the huge metropolis of First Baptist Church, the huge metropolis of Cottondale, the big city. Come over to the other big city. Amen. It's good to have them here tonight. He's just checking up on his son, so I'll give you a report afterwards. We'll get straight down. It's good to have him here tonight. Well, have you enjoyed Brother Pugh? I enjoy Brother Pugh too. Have you enjoyed Brother House? Amen. Come on, Brother House. He sits back there. I would have him set up with me, but amen. I figured so.
I am glad you're here tonight. I'm ashamed of Christians who forsake the privilege we have to meet together and gather around the Word of God and take it so much for granted. We're around the world tonight. Folks would give about anything they have to be able to do what we're doing now. And so I'm sure proud you're here, and I trust the Lord will do something very special for us tonight. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. If you came both services yesterday, I'm really glad you're back tonight. And I hope you'll be here the entire week. It's sort of line upon line, precept upon precept, and I hope you won't miss any of it. I do want you to understand, I want to reemphasize, I have no motivation for preaching what I'm preaching other than it'll help you and it helps me. It's like finding a cure for a disease when you find out what God really has for you as His child, and it'll help in your marriage, it'll help in your business, it'll help on your job, it'll help in your finances. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing as we study our relationship to God. And I'm just a fellow traveler on this Christian road, and so we'll just share together. And there was a time I had all the answers. I've forgot most of the questions now, and so we'll just study together and see what's happening. But now please remember back to last night. It's all about the heart. And when somebody gets upset about giving back to God, it is a serious heart problem. And so we need to understand that. And you say, well, it's not that important. It is that important. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I've heard that so misquoted. I've heard preachers misquote it. I've heard it quoted like this: where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. That is not true. Your treasure does not follow your heart. Your heart follows your treasure. Better understand it. That's the way it goes. Always has been, always will be. It's going to follow after you. So we have so much to comprehend, to understand, and then so much to benefit from if we let our heart be changed the way God wants to change it. Just let us be completely free, just trusting God to supply our need, to take care of us, to be our provider. No more fear, no more stress, that's what these principles are all about, and it'll change everything. So tonight, for a little while, I want to talk about who's number one. If the crowd were a little older, we could do who's on first. But I don't think the crowd's old enough. I mean, we're back to Abbott and Costello with that, and we thinned the crowd out considerably then. But it does get down to who's number one or who's first in your life, and who or what is number one. And we all know the religious answer. We say, well, God is. Well, let me see your checkbook, and I'll check the register, and we'll find out who's first. We'll find out who's on first. We'll find out who's number one. It's an amazing thing, but see, your money is talking. It'll tell on you. And we have to check up on it every once in a while. And speaking of that, remember, every time we receive anything, every time you get paid, God gives us a test. And he tests us on who's number one, who's first, who we love, who we're going to worship. And so I want us to study some tonight. Now, Exodus chapter 13 comes right after the Exodus. And so they're out. They're on their way. And God's going to take up this ordinance thing with them again. Isn't that interesting? He keeps bringing up these ordinances. And so verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify to me all the firstborn." Well, we're starting on that first thing first. All right. "Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." Verse 10, "Therefore, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year." Now, they're out of Egypt. God delivered them. The Exodus has taken place. And God begins to instruct these folks in the ordinances of how they ought to live, what they ought to do. And he takes up some interesting stuff here. He said, "Now, I want you to understand, some of this stuff is mine. It is mine. That the first fruit thing, that's mine." And you look at verse 12, "That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb." It's pretty interesting now. "And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck." Somehow we think we can keep it all and get by with it. Now what he's teaching you is quite simple. That we're going to talk about the firstborn. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. You can't do it any other way, you see. And there are those who said, "Well, I don't think I'm going to redeem this one. It's not worth paying that redemptive price." Well, you're going to lose it then. You can't have it both ways. Okay, we're not getting it. Turn over to Leviticus for just a moment. Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. Very important. It has to do with the clean and the unclean. It has to do with the firstlings of the beast and the firstlings of an ass. The firstlings of a beast, you sacrifice it. The firstlings of an ass, you redeem it. Look at it now in Leviticus chapter 27. And this has nothing really, well, it does have something to do with the message, but I don't have it all time to look at it right now. But if you happen to have an old Scofield Bible that you got, anybody got one in your lap? Brother, I knew he'd have one, yeah. Man, there's a wonderful outline there that somebody just ought to preach sometime. It says, "The three things which are the Lord's absolutely." And it just takes the remaining verses, 26 through 34, and it said, "The firstlings of the beast." And then any dedicated thing. And then it comes to verse 30 and says, "All the tithe of the land, tree, and beast." That is the Lord's absolutely. And we need to understand that. But what I want you to see is in verse 26 and verse 27. "Only the firstlings of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstlings, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep. It is the Lord's." Those are the clean animals. "And if it be an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it." Isn't that interesting? If it's a firstling of a clean beast, it's the Lord's, you sacrifice it. But if it be an unclean beast, then you redeem it. Now get it, the firstborn is to be sacrificed or redeemed or you break its neck. It just comes down to that. It's very important. So important to God that we get it, you see, because the way you understand tithing, this first fruits thing, is to go all the way back to the book of Genesis and just bring it through. It's all the way through. Unfortunately, it's there. And we need to study on it, you see. Back in the garden, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he made him a man to till it, and he put him in there, and his instructions were just to take care of it and live off of the abundance of it. And he said, there's just one thing. There's one limitation. There's one tree in there. You keep your hands off it. It is mine. And somebody said, how does the tree have anything to do with anything? Well, Adam's nature, you know, that Adamic one, he perfected it. And our nature is, you put us in the garden and you let us be blessed, and it won't be long we forget who owns the garden. And so Adam would get his neighbors over, no question about it, and he'd begin to say, I want you to see my garden. Most beautiful garden. Said, you should have seen it when I got it. It's pretty much a mess, but I've straightened it up now. Good garden, and I'm doing so good with my garden. And about that time, they'd walk right up to that tree. God said, keep your hands off of it. And it would remind him, it's not yours, Adam. It's mine. It is mine. And that tithe, that first fruits, you see, God gave Adam a test there in the garden, and he failed. And mankind went into a chaotic situation because of us. So now we come over here to Exodus chapter 13, and we get down to this sacrificing or redeeming. The firstborn must be sacrificed if it's clean, or redeemed if it's unclean. Got that? I appreciate both of you. All right. Now, were you born clean or unclean? Unclean. Sinners. You don't have to teach your kids to be bad. It comes natural. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. Clear through. You sacrifice the clean to redeem the unclean. It's important to God that you get it in that order, you see. So the clean was sacrificed so the unclean could be redeemed. God gave Jesus. It's quite interesting, you see. He gave him first. He gave him before anybody had shown any repentance. Nobody was looking for God. Nobody was searching out. There was not one that was looking. No one seeketh after God. And God gave Jesus first, the firstborn. First fruits represent Jesus. And when you get the first fruits out there, then the rest is blessed if they choose to be, you see. So here's the test. This is one of those really deep ones now. This is a hard one. Would you rather have 100% of everything? I mean, keep your firstborn of everything, your first fruits of everything, not let any of it get away. Had you rather have 100% of it cursed or 90% of it blessed? Can't have it both ways. And so it's just quite simple, you see. It's a heart matter. The first fruit is the redemptive portion for what remains. Just wanted to throw it out. Won't you chew on it in a while and see what comes up? Won't you think about it? You see, that donkey, you can't keep him unless you redeem him. And you're going to have to break his neck if you don't do that. So the firstborn must be redeemed. Now, number two, the first fruits must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 23 just for a moment, please. Exodus chapter 23. And let's look at a verse. It's fairly simplistic. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19. Exodus 23:19. You found it? A lot of these firsts going on in there. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Did you get that? the first of the first fruits. Listen to this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. It's always the first fruits. The first fruits are to be offered. Now don't confuse. See, a tenth and first fruits are not necessarily the same. They're supposed to be. It's supposed to be the first fruits. You go to the book of Joshua, if you would. Find it, please, the book of Joshua. And let's look at something there for just a moment. Joshua chapter 6. Now, I don't ask you to use your Bible much. It's not that bad. Go ahead and turn in your Bible. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua judges Ruth. Joshua chapter 6. And you're going to find that story there where God's people have been delivered again. And they're making their way out. And they come to conquer their first city. A wonderful place. And some instructions were given to them. And I want to read just the latter part of the instructions because it's so very important. And they're getting it. The people are getting it now. In verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. The silver, the gold, the brass, the iron. They are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, what's going on? He's not talking about 10% here. He not at all. Now understand something. They were not to conquer nine cities and then give God the silver and gold out of the tenth one. You say, well, that would have been a tenth, but it wouldn't have been first fruits. You have to understand that. You don't have to, but you need to understand it. Don't conquer nine cities, give me the tenth. By faith, God said, give me the first. That first city, I want it all. He said it's consecrated. That's the tithe. The first fruits are consecrated. Don't belong in your house. He said, you bring it to the house of the Lord. See? And so Achan decided it wasn't that big a deal. And so he took a portion of it. And you know what happened? The whole mess became cursed. Did it? Yeah, you can't do that. You just can't do that. I mean, it's one or the other, blessed or cursed. And it was cursed, you see. And when you get paid, when you receive something, and you don't bring the first fruits to the house of God, it's cursed. I'm not getting far with that. See? The tithe does not belong in your house, but it's in God's house. I really hate to go here because it upsets people, and I don't want to upset anybody. And I'm a firm believer in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. I'm just a blood person, okay? But now don't go to preconceived notions, and I'm not going either way with you in debate. But did you ever wonder why God accepted Abel's offering over there in Genesis chapter 4 and not Cain's? Now, I know, you know, we say, well, that's pretty simple. One of them was a blood offering and one of them wasn't. I'm sure not going to argue that. But there's another interesting thought, if you'll let me share it with you. In chapter 4 and verse 3, now listen to it. Don't forget there may be secondary applications to Bible passages. Can we be all right with that? Okay. Now watch. Genesis 4:3. And in process of time, that is very important. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Okay. Now when did that? Somewhere down through time. In the process of time, somewhere down through the harvest, sometime Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought, but look now, of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, I've already made concession to the, you know, what we like to say, you can't get blood out of a turnip. That's the reason God didn't accept the deal. But what it says is, one of them brought an offering, the other one brought first fruits. Now, that's what it says. And we need to understand. See, and please, please don't say, J.C. Howe said that wasn't anything about blood. I didn't say that. I said the Bible says the difference was one of them brought an offering in the process of time. Somewhere down through, a crop came up, and he brought the stuff. And then Abel brought the firstlings of his. Now, that's what the Bible says was the difference. And you know, we need to realize how important it is. See, one of them a rancher, one of them a farmer. And I don't even know whether farmers in those days had any animals or not. Someone says, well, he should have bought one. I'm not going to argue that point. The point is, he brought an offering. The other guy brought a first fruits. That's the whole thing. And so the first fruit must be offered. Now, the firstborn must be redeemed or sacrificed. The first fruit must be offered, you know. So we're back to that, who's on first? Who's number one? See, God cannot accept second best. No, he cannot. See, he's perfect. He must be preeminent. He must be number one. He's the best there is. I don't mean this lightly at all. I just think it's a wonderful illustration. See, and I don't play golf. I've never had a club in my hand. If I did play golf, like some of you guys I see, I'd probably hit somebody with the club if I did. But if God played golf and he played 18 holes, his score would be 18. Because he would not be able to hit the ball and it not go in the hole. If God pitched a baseball game, he'd throw 81 strikes, and the game would be over. It'd be a perfect, really a perfect game. Just three strikes you out. You do that for 27 men, and it's over, you know. He's perfect. And so he will not accept second best. There's no need to say, and we can't give him the first. We can. And he commanded these ordinances to us to do it. And so we just need to do it. Firstborn must be redeemed or sacrificed. First fruits must be offered. And now, lastly, let's get this one. Let's get serious about this one. Third thing we learn in here about who's on first is that the tithe must be brought first. Look over to 2 Chronicles. I believe we visited there yesterday sometime. 2 Chronicles, if you would. And chapter 31, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and look if you would to verse 5. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, that ordinance, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, and honey, and all the increase of their field. Now, those gifts were accepted. They were not rejected. They were first fruits. Okay. And all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. Now, I need you need to notice the word brought. It's in there twice. They brought in abundance first fruits. And they brought the tithe of all things in abundantly. The word brought. In Malachi 3, they don't use the word brought. He says, bring. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Now, this is interesting to me. Little things interest me that wouldn't interest intellectuals, I'm sure. But the Bible never uses the word give when it's talking about the tithe. It uses the word bring and brought. It's just simple. Bring the tithe. They brought the tithe. Why? Because it's not ours to give. It is not a gift. We're returning it to someone. It's just that simple. See, if y'all don't bring the amening up, I'm not going to bring the preaching up. This thing goes both ways, you know. So the word bring is there. Let me do it this way. Next Monday, Wanda and I fly out to a meeting in Mexico. And so Brother Eric, now the first part of it's true. And so Brother Eric finds out we're flying out. And he says, look, preacher, my wife has tore up my car. And I need to put it in the shop and they're going to have it a week. You're going to be gone all week. He said, what if I let me use your car. I'll take you to the airport. I'll come back and pick you up. And that way I won't have to rent a car and I can get my car fixed and it won't cost either one of us anything. I said, well, that'd be fine, man. So we make our arrangements and he gets down and he drives us to the airport, drives off in my car, and we get on the airplane. Friday we come back and he's there to meet us. Everything's fine. And he starts driving us home. And he said, preacher, you know, my wife and I have been praying about some stuff this week. I said, well, that's good. He said, well, we've been praying about doing something for you. I said, well, that's really good. And I said, what have you been praying about doing for me? He said, we've been praying all week, and we believe that God wants us to give you this car. I said, what? He said, we believe that God wants to give us this car, give you this car. And I said, I don't know where you forgot, but this is my car. He said, oh, well, just receive it as a gift from God and have a good, thankful spirit about it. No. No, I said, no, Brother Eric, you don't understand. You can't give me this car. It is mine. So why do folks think they're giving God anything when they tithe? He's already said, it is mine. And the Bible's always referring to bring it in, you see. But wait, it always says bring it in to the house of the Lord or to the house of God or to my house. Not to some good ministry. Not to your favorite TV personality. Not to any of that stuff. Well, why can't Christians bring in their tithe to God undesignated? It's just to God. I'll tell you why. Because they want to give to those other things, but they don't want to increase their level. So they start cutting it out of the tithe, you see. And so they'll give some dollars over here and some dollars over there and some dollars over there. And then God gets the rest of it at his house. And that is not the tithe. And the whole mess is cursed. You know, we just need to settle down on it. They don't want to give over and above. So, and they know there's some good things they ought to give to. We talked about that yesterday. Give to every man that asketh thee. I had a very good question about that after church. Good question, good spirit. And the gentleman said, now, you know, I've always done that. You know, I've bought hungry people stuff to eat. And he said, this certain person told me, but the Bible says, if a man won't work, he ought not eat. So how do you justify that, give to every man that asketh of thee? So we talked about it a minute. And I said, well, number one, because it says judge not. We don't know whether he can work or can't work. And number two, just the plain old English. It still says, give to every man that asketh you. Whether he works, sorry, good for nothing, lazy, infidel. And great is your reward. And so, see, we're too quick to judge, and we're too quick to judge about things like this. So don't take a part of your tithe and designate it that stealing. Well, the amens are rolling tonight, aren't they? It's just been a good night. It's not your tithe. It's not yours. You know, you can't do that. You know, bring it to God's house, no strings attached. See, and notice, it says right here, the first fruits of all things, of the tithe of all things they brought in. And you get a dumb question sometimes. Well, is that net or gross? Well, now let me give you the logical. What do you want blessed, the net or the gross? Someone says, you mean I'm supposed to tithe on that income tax I send to Uncle Sam? I'd sure want that blessed. Wouldn't you? Man, if there's anything I'd want blessed, it's what Obama's getting his hands on. I mean, he needs it blessed. And theologically, it's first fruits. It's the gross, of course, see. So we're to give the first fruit. We're to bring the tithe. Offer the first fruits. Let's suppose, and I'm going to quit because I can tell I've not got anything done tonight. Let's suppose you have a landscaping business. And we make a deal for you to do some business for me. And so we do the deal. And I pay your laborers and I pay all of the costs. And I pay all of your expenses, and then I give you 10 $100 bills for your trouble. 10 $100 bills. $1,000. Now, how much is the tithe on $1,000? $100. Which one of the $100 is the first fruits? Which, what? That's interesting. He said the first one that I gave him. And this is going to get sticky. Here's what I believe. And I think I can prove it. It's the first one you spend. First fruits. The first one you spend. That'll help you know when you need to make a check out to the Lord. See, the first fruits now, that's that redemptive portion to get the curse off the rest of it. Now, the first $100 and the last $100, same value. It's who's on first that matters. Okay? Who's on first? And we just, you know, just plain simple stuff, you see. And you give the first, and the rest of it's blessed. That's what Malachi 3:10 said. And let's go back to that heavy stuff. Don't tithe, cursed. Tithe, blessed. And so we make our choice there. It's a principle to follow. Who's on first? And please don't get legalistic about it. You know, if I get a check from a church on Friday, I finish up a meeting on Friday or something, my bank don't open Saturday and Sunday. And so I sit down on Monday to make out my tithe, and lo and behold, Wanda's already been to Kroger's and wrote a check. And I'd say, my Lord, Wanda, we're cursed. Now wait. It's a matter of the heart. It's a principle of life. First fruits ought to go to God. But you see, we Baptists are so weird about getting warped and so bent out of shape and so far away from the truth. The principle is it ought to be the first thing you do out of everything that comes into you. But if that is the intent, and somewhere in the bookkeeping Wanda slips in, I think God will understand. And so we just need to decide who's on first, you know. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 13, and I'm going to close. You say, this is the third time you've closed. I know, but I'm getting closer. We're back now to sacrificing. the firstborn. And you come to verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? And you don't have to be, you know, the brightest bulb in the deal to figure that out. Here, these folks are ranchers, and they're raising all this stock. And ever firstborn, that boy watches his daddy slit his throat, bleed him out, sacrifice him. And so one day the boy comes and says to his dad, what is this? He said, Dad, we're ranchers. Our business raising stock. You're killing off the profit. Well, what is this? Dad, anybody know this is not the way to make a successful rancher. You can't kill the firstborn every time. He says, when he says, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him. Probably a good time to sit down and have a daddy-to-boy talk. Maybe even pull him up close to you. And say to him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. He said, son, we've not always been ranchers. That you don't understand what I used to be.
Amen.
You don't understand where I've come from, son. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go. I was under a heavy taskmaster. I was a slave. I was a bondsman. That the Lord slew all the firstborn. There's that first crop again. In the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. And I wonder how heavy that connection is to the redemption of Israel out of bondage. And here's what it's all about, son, because of that. Because of what God's done for me, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Man, if we could just remember where we came from. If we'd teach our children where we came from, wouldn't have to have so many of these kind of meetings. They'd just grow up saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, that first fruit's Him. I'm going to redeem my children. Go on from there. And on and on and on it goes. So He just said, everything we've got, son, God gave to us. We had nothing when we came into the land. It's all from God. Therefore, gladly will we sacrifice? Here's a question now. Don't give me the religious answer. Who's first? Who's number one? Now, here's what you can do. You can make Him number one now, starting tonight. And you ought to do it. You just ought to say, I'm going to let God be number one in my life. I look back. Don't take me long. Yes, sir. I'll gladly make Him number one. If you understand what God did for you to bring you from where you were to where you are as a Christian, most gladly, therefore, will I sacrifice unto the Lord. You bow your head, please. Every head is bowed. The firstborn must be redeemed. The offering, the first fruit must be offered. And the tithe must be brought. You've been here through two services, most of you. I'm not going to try to talk you into anything. I'm just asking you who's number one. Who's on first? Who are you going to make number one? Your choice. I want to pray. When I finish praying, we're going to stand, and our song leader is going to begin to lead us in an invitation hymn. You probably know it. You won't need a hymn book. Be a good time to reach out to God. And just make Him first. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word. Thank You for those who've gathered around the Word tonight. Thank You for those who've had ears to hear. And I pray now that we would not leave this place thinking You'll operate in second place or third place. But may we make sure you're the preeminent one, the first one, number one in our life. And may we understand where we came from and do it gladly. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, if you can stand, we begin to sing.